May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This past month, I was able to spend 3 weeks up at my husband's family's home in rural northeastern Nevada in a town called Tuscarora. I've written and spoken about Tuscarora before, but when I say that it's rural, I mean that it's an hour drive to any place that could sell you even a gallon of gas or a carton of milk. In the mid-1870s, during the mining boom, about 5,000 people lived in Tuscarora, including a substantial Chinese population, the largest in the West outside of San Francisco, actually. Today, however, it's technically categorized as a ghost town. Or as my father-in-law likes to say, there are 14 people in town and we like 12 of them. Over the past 2 years, Michael, my husband, and I have been intentional about investing in both the property and the community up there. And there's something edifying about being in a small community where you don't get to choose the people around you. There are people I've really enjoyed getting to know better, people who have surprised me with their generosity and kindness, and then someone might say something that makes me cringe or reveals values or beliefs that are different from mine. But in a town that small, that person might be the one who comes to your aid to jump your car or provide that critical extra roll of toilet paper. And if you want to socialize and not go too stir-crazy, those are the people that you've got. My recent experience in Tuscarora alongside the death of Wendell Berry this week led me to thinking about Berry's novel, Jaber Crow. Berry's protagonist, Jaber Crow, has a vision of the little fictional community of Port William, Kentucky. And he realizes that it isn't the idealized community he once imagined. It is much messier than that. He says, "My vision of the gathered church that had come to me had been replaced by a vision of the gathered community." And then he describes that community as imperfect and irresolute, held together by the frayed and always fraying bonds of affection. I appreciate that image because it feels much closer to the reality of the church than maybe some of the idealized images we carry around with us. The bonds are frayed. Sometimes they're barely holding. We disappoint one another. We misunderstand one another. We disagree. Sometimes we are indifferent to one another. And if we're honest, sometimes we don't even particularly like one another. And yet, Berry says that this community is always trying to contain its divisions and gentle its meanness, always failing and yet always preserving a sort of will toward goodwill. Jaber comes to understand that belonging means becoming responsible for people who are not necessarily your people by choice. While we tend to think of community as people I have something in common with, Berry imagines community as people whose lives have become bound up with mine, which is a much more demanding definition. Jaber describes Port William as a membership. You don't choose who is in it. You are born or drawn into it, and you cannot easily untangle yourself from your neighbor. This speaks to the reality of the church because the church at its ideal is a community, not an affinity group. It's not a gathering of people who agree about everything, but a people who have been given to one another, who have become part of the same body of Christ through our baptisms. Matthew's gospel is known as the churchiest gospel in that Jesus talks directly about the shape of Christian community. And although the Greek word ecclesia is translated as church, that's a little anachronistic for Jesus' time. But it is notable that Jesus does not assume some sort of idealized version of Christian community. Instead, he gives us an outline for what to do when things go wrong, because they will go wrong. People will hurt one another, disappoint one another, let each other down. People will say and do things they shouldn't say and do. And what Jesus doesn't say is, well, then leave and go find better people, or forgive and forget. He gives us steps for staying in relationship when that relationship becomes difficult. And the process that Jesus lays out is not actually about determining who is right or wrong, but about restoring relationship. Notice that Jesus says, if the member listens to you, then you have regained that one. Regained. The goal is not victory or the satisfaction of being proven right or even avoiding conflict altogether. The goal is to regain your sibling. Christian community is not a place where we avoid conflict, but where we learn how to remain in relationship through and in conflict. Of course, not all disagreements are trivial. Some political or theological differences are not just matters of opinion, but result in beliefs and actions that affect people's lives and dignity. And those who have been around St. Mary's for a while know all too well how inappropriate behavior can have ramifications for the whole community. Sometimes things happen that are not okay, and Jesus takes wrongdoing seriously. The challenge for us as Christians is that in taking wrongdoing seriously and addressing it, we don't stop seeing that person as a human being whose life is bound up with ours. We are asked to be accountable to one another, which is both more challenging and more interesting. Perhaps in this context, the final verse of today's reading lands a bit differently than we're used to. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. We usually hear this as a comforting promise, especially for those of us who are in charge of planning church events. Even if only two or three people show up, Jesus is still there. But Jesus has just been talking about conflict, accountability, reconciliation, and forgiveness. Maybe where two or three are gathered in Jesus' name is not about the size of the gathering, but about what happens when we gather with people we didn't necessarily choose. Christ is present when we tell the truth to one another. Christ is present when we seek forgiveness. Christ is present when we stay at the table instead of taking our ball and going home. Christ is present when we acknowledge that something is really wrong. Christ is present in the difficult work of belonging. Wendell Berry's Jaber Crow takes a job as the church janitor in Port William, sweeping the floor on Friday nights as he slowly becomes skeptical of the abstract institutional sermons. Jaber says, "Some of the best things I have ever thought of, I have thought of during bad sermons." And while sitting in the back of the church, he feels Christ's presence, not in those sermons, but in the gathered, ordinary reality of the people. It is not the church's perfection where he finds true beauty, but in its gathered endurance. The Christian life is not primarily about finding people who are like us, but about learning to love the people that God has given us. Jaber eventually sees something else about the people of Port William. He says that the community must always be marred by members who are indifferent to it or against it, who are nonetheless its members and maybe nonetheless essential to it. And yet he says he could see them all as somehow perfected beyond time by one another's love, compassion, and forgiveness. As it is said, we may be perfected by grace. I propose today that that is what Christian community is supposed to be. Not a community in which everyone agrees, not a community in which everyone is even good at loving one another, not a community in which we have figured out all our divisions, but a community in which we are always being perfected by one another's love, compassion, and forgiveness. The person who frustrates us, the person whose politics we can't understand, the person who sees the world differently than we do, the person we've hurt, the person who has hurt us, the person we might never have chosen to be a part of our community. And yet, they are here, and so are we. Perhaps this is what grace looks like. Not that we become a perfect community, but that in loving and forgiving one another, in being drawn together at the table Jesus sets for us, we become members of one another and are perfected by God's grace working through each other.